Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast, presented by Dr. Joey McDonald.
The scripture lesson, for this morning is from John 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who loved Jesus, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to the Father, to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Here ends the reading for this Easter morning. May the Lord add his blessing on these words.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. The late Dr. Fred Craddock, professor of preaching and at Candler Theological School in Atlanta, says this account of the Gospel of John differs from the synoptic accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John has Mary Magdalene alone at the grave of Jesus. The empty tomb does not move her to faith. She believes the body has been moved, perhaps even stolen. She goes to get Peter and the beloved disciple, John. They literally run to the scene, with John being younger and faster, arriving first. John looks in the tomb, sees the burial clothes, and believes. Peter arrives and enters the tomb, and he too believes. Mary Magdalene comes after them and looks in the tomb, and is not moved to belief. She sees two angels who seek to calm her. As soon as she tells them her fear that Jesus has been moved, Jesus appears. However, she does not recognize him. Only when he calls her by name does she recognize him. Dr. Craddock says, Easter alone is a marvel because of this story. Easter, for those who have followed all the way even to Golgotha, is a confirmation of trust, a promise kept. Yet even for disciples like Mary, Easter does not return her and Jesus to the past. Easter opens up a brand new future. In an age when we can Google anything we want to find out what it is about in a matter of seconds, the miraculous and marvelous is often met with skepticism. William Sloan Coffin raised such a question in a sermon July the 2nd, 1978. Here are a few words from the late prophet. He writes, several years ago, driving south through Virginia, I had the occasion to cross the Rappahannock. Taking in its awesome width, I couldn't help wondering whether George Washington had indeed sailed that silver dollar from one bank clear across to the other. Then I went on to muse, suppose modern scholarship should one day establish that the dollar, in fact, splashed. Would that mean that George Washington was no longer the father of our country? The answer, of course, is no. That story is an expression of faith. I'm having a technical moment here. Is an expression of faith, not a basis of faith. Like the story of young George, the hatchet and the cherry tree, it's the kind of story followers of George Washington committed to him on other grounds would just love to tell about him. And so with Jesus. If he never walked over the surface of the Sea of Galilee, still he is Lord. His lordship is not based upon his breaking the laws of physical nature like some Houdini. Rather, he is Lord because he transcended the limits of human nature, loving as no one else could love unless he were the Son of God. God's love in person on earth. So let's not worry about whether a story is literally true. It is eternally true, as I think we shall see. And that is enough. Dr. Barbara Brown Taylor, who taught preaching at Claremont Graduate School and Claremont Theological School, has a unique take on this text. I hope you appreciate it as much as I. Dr. Taylor says, with Mary Magdalene mistaking Jesus for the gardener, she thinks we ought to be looking for a naked gardener somewhere in the subtext of this. It's just a thought, I'm just saying. So we see what we see and believe what we believe. We will believe what we believe. Some of you have heard a version of this next story, but it bears repeating, especially in Easter. I do a fair amount of walking, not because I'm a fitness bug, simply because I'm too cheap to join a gym, and I'm an old guy trying to stay alive. I walk to the post office a few blocks north on Chandler. However, the most interesting places to walk in this area for me are the NoHo District. Roughly, Chandler at the Red Line on Lancashire between Magnolia and Camarillo. Nearly every time I walk these areas, people ask me for money. No, I'm not condoning or recommending you give money to people. I carry a few loose dollars in my left pocket for these occasions. One fellow, after giving a very polite greeting of, pardon me, sir, may I have a dollar, immediately followed by, have a blessed day. I had given him several dollars over a couple of weeks, and I said, "Tell me your name." And he responded with, "I am David Solomon III." Then he elucidated me with some biblical theology about how he was a direct descendant of these biblical kings. And he closed with this poignant statement, "You know, I'm supposed to be ruling the earth for the next 1,000 years, not some bum on the street." And I carried that in my head and in my heart as I headed back to my office. I was walking west on Magnolia and crossed the street on Lancashire and headed south on Lancashire. At the corner of La Maida, I turned west again to head to my office. At that corner is a fairly new Starbucks. And I say fairly new because they're ubiquitous after all. They crop up every other week. But, and yes, I am a Starbucks fan. There in the alley behind the Starbucks in broad daylight was a tent, and I knew it was occupied. And somehow the words of that old Joan Osborne song came into my head. What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us, a stranger on the bus trying to make his way home. Or that person sleeping in the tent behind Starbucks. We see what we see, we believe what we believe, and know what we know. Those of you who know me know that I like to read the comics and the sports section before I brave the front page. This past Friday, Bizarro by Dan Piaro, not a political cartoonist by any stretch of the imagination. Dan Piaro had just a very interesting single caption cartoon. It shows President Trump in his robe standing on a bathroom scale and pointing to the scale. He says, "Fake news." Any of you have stood on a scale as I do regularly? Yes, I'd like it to be fake. Unfortunately, it's the absolute truth and painful. Pasadena Playhouse just premiered a new play published posthumously by the foundation that holds Tennessee Williams' estate. It starred Al Pacino. And some here know the person who was his personal assistant, sort of a buffer between the people who would hound this very famous actor. I will call her name Janet because that's her name, Janet. She told some of us a lovely story about working with Mr. Pacino. Though he knew her name, he persisted on calling her Doll. And she said she came to his dressing room and knocked on the door and said, "It's Janet," and she shared her last name. And he didn't open the door, and she said, "It's Doll." "Oh," he said, "come on in, Doll, it's not locked." So stars have their quirks. At one point, she said, "He has no idea of how incredibly famous and revered he is as a performer. But he's also human. He's, I think he's 75, and he has 16-year-old twin daughters. And he was sharing what a difficulty this is for him." And she said, "Al," and she did call him Al. She said, "Al, remember who your daughter's father is. Remember, their father is Al Pacino. Just imagine the teasing. I'm out of order. You're out of order. Say hello to my little friend. Hoo-ah." We see what we see. We know what we know. And what do you know? It's Easter. And we have a brand new invitation to live towards the love of God in the bright of day, and knowing that dark clouds will come, knowing that frustrations will arrive, special delivery for each of us. That's what life is about. But this text and all the subtext within invite us to look at life and be blessed, to see something slightly different, maybe 15 degrees off center, maybe more. So have a wonderful Easter day. I hope I didn't catch you in checking your menu for Easter brunch, but have a wonderful day and live knowing that God loves each and every one of us. And if you ever need reminded, hunt me. I'll remind you. May it ever be so. Amen.